You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found in the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming / preparing to learn from Kyle Arneson from World Leadership Partners and Bunker Labs. Kyle, how's it going today?
Hey, James. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm doing well. It's good to see you.
That's a handshake if you're going to see that.
It's good to be seeing here. So, Kyle, I wanted to get you in here to interview you because
thanks for thinking of us.
You got a million things going on, and all of them, essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, center around helping small business owners. Is that
absolutely? I'm just a guy who's been failing forward over 30 years,
sure.
And people find counsel and strength in figuring out something that maybe somebody else hadn't seen before.
Sure, fair.
Yeah. I know you do a lot of coaching and pouring into the folks and having the time of my life.
I do what I can, and you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun, especially when you can see results from the coaching. But there's sometimes the results are people decide to just hold off starting their business, or they hold off throwing money at something that maybe they wouldn't be the greatest at if they did throw the money.
No, you're right. I mean, there's a huge word out there, right? I mean, I can hardly pronounce it most of the time. Entrepreneur.
Sure.
I don't know. What was entrepreneur before entrepreneur? I guess it was a business owner.
I suppose,
that was just right? Going to go out on their own and basically try to jump and build their wings on the way down.
Right.
That's what I love about it is, you know, every day is going to be different. There's a different path every day.
Very true.
And quite frankly, it's not easy. It's not easy to start something. It's not easy to sustain something. And it sure as heck isn't easy if you're not out there with people and bouncing some ideas off as a sounding board.
Right.
It's a very lonely existence, if you will, in terms of a business startup, a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
It's 24/7, 365, even if you don't own a restaurant.
Yeah, you're never off. Very true. Yeah. Very true. So let's start with World Leadership Partners. What is World Leadership Partners?
World Leadership Partners. Well, World Leadership Partners is an entity we formed about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the impetus of getting out there, and a lot of people had questioned and asked, hey, you know what? I know you guys started something like this. I know you failed at this. I know you did that. I said, yeah, I did. And quite frankly, it was fairly fortuitous. And you and I have talked about my mentor, John Maxwell, in the past. John's probably considered the world's foremost authority on leadership and growth.
Sure.
And business partner of mine down in Florida had actually knew somebody that was going to start working with John about 6-7 years ago. And he said, hey, you know what? If you're going to be jumping into this business coaching and want to get into a lot of bigger companies and smaller companies, I know you got your own content. I know you got a lot of your stuff. But you know what? You should talk to Paul. Paul's actually going to be working with, and he's starting to do some things with John Maxwell.
Okay.
I said, well, I think I read some of his work. In fact, the one thing I did read of John's was literally, and that's kind of where the term comes from, is his book, Failing Forward.
Oh, really?
Which was a terrific book. And there was one vignette in there about a business owner that had started a restaurant down in Atlanta. And this was back in the 30s.
Okay.
And quite frankly, he and his two brothers had started the business.
Yeah.
And that business in and of itself was a restaurant, and they were working hard. And two of the brothers went to a trade show. This was in the early days of air travel.
Okay.
That plane crashed.
Oh.
The two brothers passed.
Oh.
The third brother was left with the business.
Sure.
The third brother literally folded up the business after a year, maybe a couple of months. But bottom line was the brother also then decided to honor the family and see if he could start something else, because everybody told him he had a great, great menu and great stuff on the menu.
Sure.
Ultimately, Mr. Cathy did start the business back up, and it ultimately ended up to be Chick-fil-A.
Oh, really?
Chick-fil-A, yeah. And Dan Cathy, the current CEO of Chick-fil-A, in their famous chicken sandwich.
Sure.
He's a friend of John Maxwell's. I was able to meet Dan and with John a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But bottom line was, when I started talking to some of the people that were going to form something called the John Maxwell Team, it was a certification program. In other words, if you wanted to make a significant investment, you could actually buy into John's intellectual property or a piece of it.
Okay.
John's a prolific writer. He's got a lot of properties, meaning you can download things these days, et cetera. John just wrote his 70th property, 70th book.
70th. I wonder 70, how many he put out. Yeah.
No. And, you know, John's a very humble guy. And
been
doing it for 40 years. And, you know, to the point that even at some point when you're in a conference, John's out with a lot of major corporations for half-day seminars, he'll say, hey, just a question to the crowd. How many people have bought, I got a few books out now. And people say, oh, yeah, you got, a lot of books. He says, anybody bought one of those books back in the day? Maybe one of my first 10 books? Anybody buy those? He'll get a He'll get a show of hands, very few hands, but he says, you know what, I owe you money. I wasn't that good. It wasn't that good. But he says, now you want to come see me now. You sure. want to hear the, you want to see this and you want to learn this content sure. because I literally have been failing forward so much.
Went through a little refinement. Sure,
absolutely.
We all do.
But he's all about leadership, growth, and increased capacity.
Sure.
And that's actually what the newer book is about. But bottom line was, I said, you know what? A lot of times that ship you're waiting for to come in, mm-hmm. you literally have to build. Mm. And so to look around and say, well, gee, who would I might align myself with if I'm starting this business coaching practice, professional sure. services mm-hmm. out there? How do you price things? How do you dig in? Who do you sure. who do you work with? I said, you know what? I could do a lot worse than to align myself with the world's foremost authority on leadership and growth.
Fair.
Now, albeit, maybe 1 out of 10 people I even speak to today in 2019 actually know who John Maxwell is. But, you know, that's an opportunity. That's sure. a glass half full as opposed to glass half empty. So the bottom line was I did make a significant investment. And it's never easy to write that check, never easy to slide that card saying,
sure.
gee, you know, that's a pretty significant amount.
Sure.
But as you and I both know, if someone really is going to invest, mm-hmm. the best investment I think they can ever find is in themselves.
Sure.
In themselves, in their families, in their practice, mm-hmm. to take things to another level, mm-hmm. to up-level people's awareness,
sure.
particularly even on investment into.
Totally.
And a lot of times that's a lot different for the entrepreneur, the business owner, the small business owner, mm-hmm. as opposed to somebody that says, hey, I've got a lot of security. I have a J-O-B.
Right.
And I get a check on the 15th and 30th.
Sure.
And I know you do a lot with the coaching too. And that's a real level of preparedness mm-hmm. that most people aren't prepared for when they say, hey, you know what? My passion is cooking.
Right.
I'd love to own a bakery.
Sure.
Well, again, prepare yourself. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Wow, I didn't know there was such a business
there's
side
more
this.
Beyond that.
Sure,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
But so I did. I did make a significant investment into John's intellectual property, at least a piece of it. And now 6 years later, like I said, having the time of my life, I coach with everything from solopreneurs all the way to C-suite guys and gals.
Sure.
Specialty still being leadership, growth, and increased capacity.
Okay.
Whether that's with a small team.
Sure.
Whether that's with a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. Whether that's going into a number of board members that
sure.
are having issues with communication. Right?
Sure.
Everybody communicates, very few connect. Mm-hmm. And many times if there's someone from the outside, whether they call it coaching, whether we call it consulting, someone from the outside that organization,
mm-hmm.
for example, that thoracic surgery team or that plumbing contractor,
sure.
or I don't need to know about the business. I don't need to be a subject matter expert on the business, but I am a subject matter expert on how people connect, how to increase business, new business development.
I mean, sure.
That's my sweet spot.
Fair. Totally fair. Yeah. You raise an interesting point about the connection and the communication.
Yeah.
A lot of business owners.
Well, John's actually got a book by the same title.
I imagine.
everyone communicates, few connect. Oh, boy, how true.
Out of 70 books, he's bound to hit on every one of those.
Absolutely. He's been around a while.
That's funny. I was telling my crew before I left, I'm like, hey, I'm going to interview Kyle Artisan, tell him what's going on. And John Maxwell's name came up. And I said, if you go to a bookstore, you look in the business section, there's going to be 80-some books. Mm-hmm. 30 of them will be John's.
Or through an airport.
Or through an airport.
But
yeah,
see,
yeah.
Again, that's exactly, see, that was actually, and John's latest book is called Leader Shift.
Okay.
Right? So I've also been doing a lot of work with, you know, my coach. I'm not that good a coach. I've got
sure.
five coaches.
Okay.
Right? But we're very specific. One's sales and marketing, one's my critical
Well, now,
thinking.
As employees of yours or as subs or how does that work?
No, somebody that I brought on myself.
Okay.
To coach me.
Oh, to coach you? Okay,
so,
okay.
So they're
gotcha.
Coaching the coach.
Okay.
And I take that every single day.
Sure.
And pour into my clients, into
okay.
my network, into mm-hmm. my tribe.
Sure.
And I find that's, you know, that's authenticity of a speaker, right?
Sure.
I mean, how can you put yourself out there as a coach
mm-hmm.
if you haven't really invested in people to coach you?
Fair. Totally
and
fair.
Again, you know, some of these guys work with some of the top people in the world.
Right.
I don't know what Christian Simpson does when he's coaching with Richard Branson.
Right.
But I got a checkbook.
Right.
So on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. local time, because that's the time, we have an open Q&A call for a number of us around the John Maxwell team with this fellow that is actually one of the top guys on critical thinking.
Oh, wow.
And when you start up-leveling your thinking,
sure,
you're going to start up-leveling everything that you're pouring into, whether it's your philanthropy, whether it's your faith base, whether
right.
it's your J-O-B, whether it's your company, whether it's your family.
Sure.
You're going to start seeing some different things about how you critically think.
Sure.
But frankly, a lot of that you don't get from education. You know,
right.
Gee, I mean, we all spend a lot of money on school, and I don't know how you do it today with hundreds of thousands of dollars of student debt. For you know, don't get me started.
There's a system that's broken. Fair.
Or is it? I don't know. But again, you know where we are right now.
Sure.
You know, in the state of Wisconsin, and with people taking out student loan debt.
Right.
what are you really looking at to do to go find a job?
Sure.
Or to get a profession?
Sure.
As opposed to a lot of these professions are basically begging people to come into them,
right.
Whether that's welding, whether that's keyboard. I mean, look at all this great equipment we've got right here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not necessarily going to a university program and spending $100,000 a year for 4 years
right.
to figure out communications.
Mm-hmm.
There's other great schools. So I'm a big proponent of education, but I'm also a big proponent of finding an education that's right for you.
Right.
And by the
it doesn't necessarily have to be in the classroom then.
No, I think a lot of right? I mean, a lot of this tends to be from experience. I mean,
sure.
How do people get good, right?
Right.
You know, one of my coaches says, as a saying, he says, go get good first.
Sure.
Get good first. Well, you know, how am I going to, quit preparing to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also come from a military background.
Okay.
That plan is really not going to survive first contact.
Sure.
So the whole point, and I know you're well-versed in this too, you're working with some people and they've got this business plan.
Right.
Well, in reality, they were trying to make that perfect. It'll never be perfect. Success isn't a straight path.
I tell my class, I'm like, 80% of this plan is a best guess. And it's either going to be above or below whatever you guess for your 3-year, 5-year plan, whatever. It's going to be rare that's going to be on the head every mm-hmm. single year. So
it's a living, breathing document.
Yeah.
That's why I suggest, hey, you got this business plan? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But hey, make it a Word document. A Word document. I'm gonna. No. Hey, there's my thumb drives, right?
Right.
If you can see me, there I am, thumb drive. Right. But the reality, it's a living, breathing document.
Yeah.
That document in and of itself, that's going to be workable. You're going to jump in and you're going to figure some things out. Go, I should probably take that out and put that in.
Mm-hmm.
The business plan, the
mm-hmm.
plan of the business, it's
mm-hmm.
never going to be a straight path. But that's what I love about entrepreneurship. That's what I love about the business world. Every single day, something different can happen.
Well, it's always changing. Always.
Well, I come from a market background, financial background.
Okay.
I was a trader at Lehman Brothers out on the West Coast and off of LaSalle Street. And the idea that every single day when you wake up, a local time in the Midwest here, 8:30 a.m. the market opens and 3 p.m. it closes. Every single day is going to be different. But
sure.
I also take that approach with most people in their entrepreneurship or their business building. If you're
right.
building a book of business, hey, you got to go get after it all today.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to really have all those days where you can wait for 3 cups of coffee and let's kind of motor in. And by
right.
10:30, I'm kind of getting adjusted.
No.
Hey, you're working for yourself. Mama
right.
needs a new pair of shoes here.
Right.
Let's make some things happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you raised an interesting point. I want to touch base on how you ended up in this industry. So it's up to you how far back you want to go in time.
It's an industry?
It's
wow.
industry, just general business, right?
Because you professional services.
You could still be hustling stocks or whatever, still be a broker,
yeah.
right? There's still people doing that.
Well, it's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, finances are finances,
Sure. So let's start with military. You're in the
mm-hmm.
military. You're a Marine?
Yeah, USMC, United States Marine Corps.
Okay.
244 years old, November 10th, 1775, was the Marines was founded.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm local. We're filming here in Sun Prairie. My family's from the Madison area.
Okay.
In fact, my family on my mom's side, the Irish, the McCoys, Milligans, and Conklins all got here in 1840.
Holy
literally
God.
8 years
a little
before.
While ago.
A little while ago. In fact, they were pioneers. They
sure.
literally, my great grandmother's obituary, it says pioneer woman was how she
really?
Was.
Really? Oh, that's
sure.
awesome.
She was born here in 1855.
That
but
blows
was,
away account executive on a business card.
It might.
Pioneer
it might.
Woman, that's awesome.
Pioneer woman, absolutely. But yeah, 1840, that's 8 years before Wisconsin was a state.
Sure.
So we go way back to that. So, and again, having recently moved back here in the last year, the idea that this is the state of Wisconsin,
yeah,
where you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Who says you can't go home?
Sure.
The idea that and it was my great grandfather who was born here, first generation Irish.
Okay.
That after Gettysburg, jumped in the Civil War with the 42nd Wisconsin Regiment out of Camp Randall.
Oh wow!
And,
okay.
And made it back and went
sure.
back to the family farm.
Sure.
We're on the sixth generation of that land and that farm now.
Wow.
My dad and his four brothers were all in Korea.
Sure.
All came back.
Okay.
Started businesses. My brother and I, both Marines,
mm-hmm.
Got out. I went and I was trading and doing financial advisory and owning businesses.
Sure.
So kind of some of the other stuff I know we'll touch on, but it's the idea there's a whole thread now with the veteran entrepreneurs.
Sure.
And so, yeah, just being local to Madison, but I also think that's a great avenue to give back locally.
Sure.
And most people say, well, look at Wisconsin. They're only like, they moved from 48 to 46 in terms of money coming in and financial capital.
Sure.
Coming into the state for investment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say that's a huge opportunity.
Right.
I say don't sleep on Madison.
Right.
I say don't sleep on Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't forecast when I just said after I got done flying in the Marines, I got out, finished up business school,
mm-hmm.
looked around and said, at the University of Wisconsin, I said, still hate winter.
Sure.
I'm going to Los Angeles.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, and you got a roommate in the probably the first or second weekend by
yeah.
playing volleyball out on the beach and somebody's roommate left and I'm renting that beach house for $600 a month. Wow. Again, you're talking 30 years ago.
That sounds
what
like
what I did it for Cast was now that you've got, in particular, we can get into the whole idea of, you know, where the local is in terms of entrepreneurship and startups and businesses and opportunities. But what I did it for Cast was kind of this boomerang effect.
Okay.
Was the idea that you've got, are you really going to leave Wisconsin today, maybe after school, maybe with a reload, and say, you know what, I'm going to go start my business out in Southern California, Northern California, because I don't like the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Are you going to pay $8,000 a month for a studio apartment?
Right.
It's one of my coaches clearly says, he says, yeah, you know what, you're not starting $1 million business out of your garage today.
Right.
If the garage costs $1 million.
Yeah,
good point. Or might not take up some of these areas of some of the nonprofits that have formed and some of the shared workspaces that have formed in and around the Madison area.
Well, certainly,
certainly around, you know, the Sun Prairies, the Veronas, the Fitchburgs, the Cottage Groves of the world. You know, all these places are booming.
Mm-hmm.
So again, as a former trader, I take somewhat random events and put them all together and go, huh, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we've always said in my business practice too. Isn't that interesting?
Sure.
Again, it kind of gets you to a point of critical thinking, going, isn't that interesting that we now have a nonstop flight from Madison to SFO, San Francisco, LAX, Los Angeles, Seattle's coming. And people say, oh, is that because people from Wisconsin want to go see the Golden Gate Bridge in Disneyland? I said, no, it's because companies there want to come here.
Right.
They want to put up. I mean, those stories in the Wisconsin State Journal don't happen by themselves. That in and of themselves, hey, the new biotech company put out a 40,000 square foot out in Fitchburg.
Right.
Put a 30,000 square foot in Sun Prairie.
Sure.
And the insurance. Really? Isn't that interesting? Well, they had to get from San Francisco, where their quote-unquote world headquarters is, from San Diego. You got a cost of living out there that's $8,000, as I said, for a studio apartment, as opposed to maybe taking and putting an operation here in Wisconsin.
Right.
As well, and again, don't sleep on this, the idea that those nonstop flights from San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, that's also a gateway to Asia.
Oh, sure.
It's a gateway to Asia.
Sure.
Most people don't realize what we have in terms of our state with potential export opportunities.
Sure.
Whether that's to Asia general, China specific. Hey, maybe we're in real time with what's been happening even today on people call it quote unquote trade war. Well, I don't go that far.
Right.
It's an idea of one side doesn't believe one side is being fair in terms of tariffs on goods. And that's the way the business world works.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they'll meet in the middle.
Right.
But, you know, in the midst of it, we're looking around going, Wisconsin has phenomenal opportunities to export outside of this state.
Mm-hmm.
And now people can actually have a nonstop flight to get here.
Yeah, that's awesome. I never thought about the Asia thing. That's a huge deal. Huge deal.
Again, maybe I'm Cliff Clavin of all the fun facts, but most people don't realize. And again, my family started in agriculture.
Sure.
They were planters.
Okay.
Right? When you start planting corn and soybeans for 180 years, even me as a city guy, I might pick up something for time to time.
Sure.
But in reality, what we've got here in Wisconsin with our soybean farmers, our corn farmers, we're now going to get into cash cropping with industrial hemp. I mean, that's a whole nother area. But in reality, most people don't realize the connection with Asia and the state of Wisconsin. Do you realize that 93% of the world's top-rated ginseng root, which is an unsatiable appetite in Asia, particularly China, that's used for everything from a study aid to an aphrodisiac, 93% of the world's top-rated ginseng root, and it takes 7 years to grow this crop, 7 years, 93% of that world's commodity doesn't come just from our state of Wisconsin. It actually comes from one county, Marathon County, up in Wausau.
I knew it was around Wausau. I knew Wisconsin
Marathon
hard, but I didn't know it was that specific.
Right, the unsatiable appetite in China, particularly Asia, for that particular commodity, whether it's
okay.
an herbal, a supplement, all sorts of different varieties. And it, again, we think, again, as entrepreneurs, as business people, we think, wow, you know, the United States has been around 244 years, 1776, 243. China's been around, Asia's been around thousands of years.
Right.
Thousands of years.
Yep.
And quite frankly, I've literally, in the last month, I've actually hosted three different Chinese delegations that were here to do business.
Oh, really?
Not only in ginseng, but dairy and soybean. They were the Wisconsin School of Agriculture.
Okay.
Right? The dairy barns down there. My father graduated out of poultry science. Again, after Nixon opened up trade in 72, those delegations from Asia, and particularly China, have been coming to Wisconsin looking for sustainability, whether that's poultry, meat, dairy, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
They've got 1.4 billion people.
That's a lot of people.
All right. Have you ever been to China?
I have not.
You
I want to,
go.
To. Yeah.
No, I suggest it. You know, I've been a number of times. It will be the greatest up-level in the awareness that you've had for everything from business to culture to faith to understanding how the real world works.
Mm-hmm.
And what's, you land in Shanghai, 28 million people. 28 million
That's
people.
That's a lot of people.
That's 100 times the size of Madison.
Sure.
10 times the size of Chicago.
Right.
What does that look like? But just the idea that there's 1.4 billion people, unsatiable appetite.
Sure.
And again, if we can just take the politics out of it, right? I don't do politics. But if you could, just take the politics out of it.
Sure.
They're trying to sustain 1.4 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to keep the Wisconsin, the American farmer alive.
Sure.
They're not really going to do it in corn and soybeans.
Right.
The dairy business is a very tough business.
Oh, it's going super tough.
So maybe you would look at a cash crop, whether that's an industrial hemp, or maybe that's, you know, in the cheese and dairy. Although most Asian diets don't have cheese and dairy, the operative word there is yet.
Yeah, right.
That's another word that we use a lot in my practice.
We got them on cigarettes, we'll get them on cheese, right?
Probably a little more healthy on the cheese and dairy, although it may put on a few pounds.
Right, right.
Lactose intolerance is a big thing in Asia.
Okay.
But the idea that we're sitting here in Wisconsin, the dairy state.
Sure.
And we're looking for how do you take care of those business people, those farmers, those dairy farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one easy way to take a start looking is the potential for exports.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's phenomenal. I've been learning a lot from, I guess, just talking with people that are selling on Amazon, and people getting stuff manufactured in China and distributing it through Amazon. Just learning a lot about the, I don't want to say the value or the cost of items that they sell. Mm-hmm. You're just getting a whole new perspective on your perspective of the cost of, let's say, shoes or something like that, where they're getting them built or made, built, whatever you want to call it.
Build a shoe, robo
build
shoe.
Build a shoe, right?
Don't sleep on Allen Edmonds, Wisconsin product.
Yeah, right, right. A couple bucks and then selling it for 40. Yeah, right, right, right.
Got a pair of Allen Edmonds on right now. I mean, another great Wisconsin company.
Super awesome.
I mean, we're bringing this all home. We're bringing this home to the Wisconsin entrepreneur, the Madison, the local entrepreneur.
Sure.
I think what you're doing is terrific with these podcasts. You know, particularly, it's about the journey. It's not about, hey, you know what?
Totally about the journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But the journey tends to be then, let's have fun with the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure that every day, I mean, we got 24/7, 365.
Right.
You got 168 hours this week. We just happen to be filming on a Monday.
Right.
You got 168 hours this week. Let's make it count.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's really not a whole lot of time. We'll sleep when we're dead.
Sure.
This should be fun.
Yeah, well, it's not fun. You're doing it wrong. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you know, Maxwell's got another thing too. He said, you know what? If it's lonely at the top, you're not doing something right.
Right.
And I think that's true. I mean, if you're not,
it just means you pissed off too many people getting there.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's part of that's part of the journey. But what I think the essence of what he's saying there is, if it's lonely at the top, you're not taking the team with you.
Sure.
You think you're going to do this by yourself? Right. Trust me, folks. You're not going to do this. You're a solopreneur or any other 25-cent word you want to use.
Right.
You're not doing it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing it by yourself. It's law of the buy-in.
Sure.
Your team doesn't buy into you as leader.
Right.
They don't buy into your vision.
Mm-hmm.
No. Hold on. I said, no. You can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I said, no. I got a great app company. No. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
You call me every couple of weeks looking to tap into my database for investors. You tap into my database for employees or team members that you bring
Sure.
in. I said, I get those calls every single week.
Okay.
Point is, most of those people that are trying to say that are people that they need to work on themselves as leaders. They need to take a look and, you know, what's the Michael Jackson tune? You know, man in the mirror.
Right.
You got to take a serious look at the man in the mirror and say,
hey,
maybe I need to work on my leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to bring on somebody like Kyle or James. Or, hey, maybe I have sounding board. Well, you know, what's leadership? Well, you know it when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You also know whether it's good or you know it's bad.
Right.
But, you know, like John. I mean, John's one of the world's foremost authorities on leadership and growth in his capacity. But he's got that idea of, you know, the law of the buy-in. If your team's not buying into you as the leader, no matter what project, whatever you're working on or towards, if they don't buy into you as leader, they're not buying into your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't say you had to have a great personality. I said you could be a complete, and I know we're supposed to not, you know, go down that route.
Right.
But you can be a complete you-know-what,
right,
horse's backside,
right,
and still have people buy into you as leader.
Absolutely.
In fact, didn't know him personally, but I knew of him. You know, Steve Jobs.
Yes.
Steve Jobs is supposedly a terrible, terrible guy.
Jerk.
Complete. But guess what? Every one of his team members bought into him.
You still get people standing in line to get the next big thing.
The guy's a complete, you know what, but I'm going to stick around this team. I want to see what the guy comes up with next.
Yeah, right.
In 2005. Wow, 2007, we got an iPhone. Oh, by the way, I also think we've got so many weapons of mass distraction.
Okay.
All these devices. I mean, it's nuts.
Sure.
The bottom line is, folks, you can't email a handshake. You still can't email a
handshake.
No,
totally agree.
So if somebody thinks they're going to do it because they've got all the greatest technology, oh, look at the board here. I mean, you got all this terrific technology. You still had a call and say, hey, Kyle, you up to be on the podcast? I'm doing some cool things.
Right.
Wow, I know you're doing some cool things. So here we are. In fact, if you can't see us, we're actually standing. James
said
this is the first time he's actually had an interview standing.
This is nice.
I'm working out it.
Right?
Multitasking.
Right, right. I like it. So the let's downshift into what you had going on with the financial stuff, because I'm amazed at the investing and stuff like that. Because I just imagine that.
I mean, the fact that I've lost more money than anybody around. Yeah. It's part of
it. It's interesting. I always think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? Where they're doing the hand thing. And back when I did college.
Open outcry. That's Board of Trade, Mercantile Exchange.
Yeah, using the four fingers and stuff like that. I'm just thinking, how did they work
this? Thank goodness it was four fingers and not one.
Right. How did they work the stock market trading before computers were around? And then once computers got in, they had to figure out how are we going to organize this? And who's going to be in charge of organizing that?
Again, you can't email handshakes.
Right.
You know, the whole idea, again, you know, and I kind of, well, I don't kind of, I do.
Right.
I take it back. My family since 1840 has been planting.
Okay.
Like, whether it's corn, soybeans,
sure.
Uncles were into some tobacco. Most people don't realize before there was crop insurance. They think, oh, the American farmer, you know, Wisconsin farmer. Oh, well, you know, they get wiped out by Mother Nature. They'll just get their crop insurance.
Okay.
Hey, folks, newsflash. Crop insurance didn't really exist till the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, interesting.
Prior to that, you must have a strategy, a longer sort strategy for
sure.
Your commodity. Whether that was corn, beans, the cattle, in and of itself. You must have a long, short strategy with a broker at a board of trade or a mercantile exchange in Chicago.
Okay.
So, in essence, in fact, that's my uncle loved to trade the commodities, and I think I did my first trade in one of his accounts when I was 12 years old.
Sure.
But
trading corn and soybeans and stuff like that on the market?
My uncle Bud was a big guy on the stock market.
Okay.
Again, grew up on the farm, mm-hmm. Understood commodities.
Sure.
And again, who's the greatest steward of the land and usually understanding of their crop is the farmers.
Sure.
And so ultimately, the broker maybe at a Merrill Lynch office, again, all the way back to the 1800s, if you didn't go short or you didn't go long, up mm-hmm. or down, at some point in 3 or 4 years, Mother Nature is probably going to wipe you out.
Sure.
So talk about true entrepreneurship, true business people. I mean, those people knew that at some point things are probably going to go terribly left or right.
Sure.
And they'll probably be wiped out. They came up with an idea of a hedging strategy.
Okay.
And even today, we fast forward to 2019, the hedge funds. Tip simply means somebody might go a little left or right of center.
Sure.
Hey, I'm just not going to go out and buy a McDonald's stock, buy
right.
an Exact Sciences stock, buy some stock and just go buy it and hold it. There's
sure.
other various strategies.
Sure.
So that's been going on, again, since Wall Street started under Button Tree, basically, you know, when the Americas became a country.
Sure.
But the idea today that, and again, you tie it back into China and international trade and Europe and everything. The world's a much smaller space. Even mm-hmm. though I may be a guy that says, you know, the weapons of mass distraction, they still serve a place.
Sure.
You know, for
to
what you
point.
And I do
right.
as coaches, as entrepreneurs, you know, you can build a book in Poland. You can build a book in Asia.
Sure.
You can have a phone call. I mean, my coach that I have for those 6 a.m. calls, because that's convenient to him in London.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the perfect connection on a phone.
Sure.
You know, out in California, international. You can have a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, one of the things that's, you know, you're talking about, you know, the online.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world is a much different place because of the internet.
Well, dramatically.
Let's face it.
Dramatically.
Now, depends on what side you're on there, right?
That's to say good or bad?
Is it a plus or is it a minus?
Sure.
Now, if I'm a department store,
right,
that I was all things to all people, well, guess what? There's, you know, thousands and thousands of stores, the old bricks
sure.
and mortar.
Sure.
We've basically gone from bricks to clicks.
Sure.
Bricks to clicks. But if you had, as an entrepreneur, if you figured out something on an internet,
mm-hmm.
you figured out that you could have a website and people,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I go back and see some of those. And if you want to find something kind of cool, go back on the YouTube, right? YouTube's a fantastic resource.
Right.
Same as with LinkedIn. I think those are great resources. You
mm-hmm.
can't build everything off it, but it's interesting
it's
to go
tool.
Back.
Sure.
It's a tool. It's a tool to leverage. But go back and see some of those first interviews when Jeff Bezos of Amazon,
sure,
you know, now the world's richest guy. Well, hey, the guy built a better mousetrap. He deserves to have financial freedom from
sure.
that.
Sure.
Because nobody believed him. You go back and see some of his earlier videos
of
what he was trying to say.
I will argue that he built a different mousetrap. I'm still on the fence about whether it was better or not.
Well, you see some of the Wall Street analysts
profit
trying
model.
To ask him, well, you know, you keep losing all the money. You're,
right.
It's a bookstore
That's,
on
well,
the internet.
Yeah.
It's not a bookstore. It's a platform. And now you can get everything there from baby diapers to, you know, the latest.
Right. You know. I'm talking from a business standpoint, looking at it as an investor from a profit model.
Well, you never would have looked at it
that
way. But
yeah.
some really sharp men and women saw that early on and they
sure.
put their dollars to work. I mean,
sure.
venture capitalists, right? I mean, the idea that to go out and make reward, you must
right.
take risk. Again,
sure.
tying it back
sure.
to entrepreneurs, tying it back to businesses. You take every risk in the world as a small business owner.
Correct.
And believe me, most people don't want to take that risk. They're comfortable working for someone else.
Right.
But most of the folks I'm working with, we don't really want to trade time for money.
No.
It's the only commodity you can spend and you'll never get back.
Right, right.
I want the lifestyle afforded to me that, you know what, if I'm going hard at it for 3-4 days in a row, hey, maybe I need to go out and downsize to a ball game or go out for a hike or do something like that. But the idea that, you know, this idea of ownership and business ownership, as we said, you know, the journey is what all it's about. But then also embrace the negative part to that journey.
Sure.
Or as some might see it as a negative part. It's going to be really, really hard to accomplish anything. I mean, anything worth accomplishing is going to be uphill. But guess what?
Fair.
Once it's starting to be accomplished, once you're starting to see green shoots, right? It's probably the same as you work your practice as I do mine. People say, well, you know, could I just come in and maybe we do something for a couple of weeks? What's a couple of weeks going to do? Maybe I can change your life in 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 hours.
Right.
But it's kind of like going to the gym. We're talking about pouring into you, pouring into your team, pouring into your business, being a sounding board, allowing you to see something from an outside consultant.
Sure.
And being able to move something forward. I mean, if whatever you're working on or towards, you can always up-level your awareness, but I think you're going to have somebody that's not with you day to day. See that? People say, "Oh, well, I've got a coach. You know, she's my business partner and my wife. He's my business partner and my husband.
What could go wrong?
That's my brother and my sister. What could possibly go wrong?"
Sure.
Again, different agendas.
Yeah.
Now, blood is thicker than water. But the idea that, you know what? Let's do a coaching package. Let's go out there for 6 months. Let's see what happens. Let's start to see some results over the course of a few weeks. And then we go back and we kind of track our progress. We used to call that in the military the AAR, the After Action Report. Uh-huh. Hey, we've worked together here for 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months.
Sure.
What did we accomplish? Let's really go back and say, hey, this is exactly where we were.
Right.
And it may have been not a straight path.
Sure.
But gee, somehow we went from a couple hundred thousand in revenue. We just passed 2 million in revenue. What are we doing right?
In a few weeks, they're doing phenomenal things.
They must be.
We had a 2,000%
increase. But again,
sometimes
it's just one little thing.
Sure.
And one idea. Right? It's the old story of the guy who comes in, you know, we're having a problem with this. Let's call it a printer. We're having a big problem with the printing machine. It won't work. You know, we're backfilling. We're losing $1 million a day because this machine isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the guy who's had the machine repair company for 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in, does a little tap, does a little look, does another tap. Machine's up and running.
Sure.
Saving $1 million a day.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks later, a couple days later, online, CEO of the company receives the invoice, $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
$10,000, you were here for 14 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So, well, I was here for 14 minutes that day.
Right.
But I put 32 years in understanding exactly where to tap on that machine to save you $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million a day.
Yeah.
So again, it's perspective.
Right.
It's what you may not be able to see as the business owner, being in there working in the business and not on the business.
Sure, perception
and
of value.
Vice versa. Right. Absolutely.
So tell me, when did you shift from the financial stuff, stocks and all that jazz, into helping business owners?
Well, you're doing that already. When you're on Wall Street and LaSalle Street, that's literally, if you're really looking to be an investor, as opposed to even a trader, but just somebody that's looking at some numbers and saying, oh, well, let's get in, let's get out. If you're looking at it as a business, and again, some of my business morphed, and I was on the West Coast with Lehman Brothers, and some of that was working on some of the IPOs. Again, we're talking about 25, 30 years ago.
Sure.
The computer systems weren't there. Today, you've got the power of, you know, NASA 13 in your handheld device.
Sure, right.
But at that point, everybody needed to go through a brokerage firm. They needed to go through a Merrill Lynch, a Goldman Sachs, a Lehman Brothers, maybe a couple others. But they needed to go through those firms to get a financial transaction.
Okay.
Actually consummated.
So they want to trade some stuff.
Yeah,
they have
you know,
to go through a broker.
But it's interesting you say, maybe what's an aha point about seeing maybe, you know, even though you're building your own book inside a, you know, 100% commission on Wall Street and LaSalle Street is not a job. You'll either figure out you can make money with it or you'll go work for a bank or do something.
Sure.
But the reality is 100% commission of anything.
Because there's still risk involved, right?
A lot of risk, but then potentially a lot of reward.
Absolutely.
And just, again, kind of like the old, you know, Think and Grow Rich. I think I asked you that before, if you read Think and Grow Rich.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean,
again, 3 feet from gold. That's kind of a famous vignette in there. But I think one of my aha moments was, you know, when I was working with, and only had a handful of clients, but they were all business owners.
Sure.
And they worked on anything from a couple of my clients were import-export folks.
Okay.
A lot of them tended to be folks that didn't speak English, wasn't their first language.
Okay.
And people said, well, that's interesting. I said, well, if I was prospecting, and back in the day before the LinkedIn and before a lot of these fancy prospecting tool metric kits, I said, you know what? I got a phone book. I can call business owners in a phone book.
Sure.
Well, I figured that most people were calling business owners named Jones and Smith and O'Neill. Sure. But I was going for the guy with the longest name that nobody's going to pronounce.
Oh, interesting.
And if he had a first name, even better.
All right.
Hey, there's Joe Smaljanian.
Sure.
There's Joe there. And I ended up prospecting a lot of people that were first generation business owners in the United States.
Huh,
in fact, one of my biggest clients tended to be a guy who had escaped the communists from Vietnam and set up in Long Beach, California, and actually put an import export business, again, in 1985, 87, with some of the first computer parts.
Sure.
And ended up being very successful. And then, again, transitioned back to the Midwest, and at some point, but again, still interacting with business owners.
Right.
And then just kind of seeing where some of this stuff was, of what they were putting into their business.
Sure.
And saying, yeah, my business is really just all in the financial sector, and I'm really kind of working for you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what if I was that guy on the other side of the table?
Sure.
What if I was that guy with a business?
And what was the attraction of that?
The attraction, I think, was being, outside of, there was also the business model of Wall Street at that particular time in the early 90s was also changing.
Sure.
I could see it changing really clear. But mm-hmm. the people that I worked for that were getting 100% commission is what I was getting.
Right.
But then again, the house was also getting a cut of that commission. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. those guys were usually in their 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They had no interest in changing that business model to what we now consider really the business model of Wall Street and LaSalle Street of financial wealth managers,
mm-hmm.
is go out, speak to people, bring in assets, mm-hmm. and take a fee per year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on the same side of the table there. All you're doing is gathering business owner assets and everything, mm-hmm. the retirement plans, and taking a fee on the other side.
Sure.
As opposed to saying, hey, this is a good deal, and you're maybe more transactional.
Right.
So I could see that was not working, so I just kind of morphed into setting up my own shop, and then, again, raising capital for a couple people.
Setting up your own shop doing financial stuff?
Well, you could start to do that in the late 90s, these independent brokerage firms.
Sure.
And now, again, it's the model that most people work off of today.
Right.
They might leave Merrill Lynch, they might leave a big company, and they'll do something with a different back office,
mm-hmm.
even with a Charles Schwab or some of the quote-unquote discount brokerage have a back office. But same concept. It was just helping a couple of business owners raise capital for their projects.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, a lot of that just turned into venture capital.
Mm-hmm.
And again, kind of morphed back to, was it down in South Florida, again, where I started to meet some of the guys with the John Maxwell team and understanding, hey, maybe this is something I want to do as a professional services practice.
Right,
it'll be tough, but if I'm surrounding myself with people who are already doing that,
mm-hmm.
and already failing forward at that,
mm-hmm.
then you know what? Then you at least have a system of support.
Sure.
And most people think, and again, back to our ideas of what entrepreneurs and business owners think,
right.
as they jump in, or, hey, I'm downsizing from my corporate. I've always had a passion for doing this, and I want to start something.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that your immediate support system is going to be your best friend and your family, not always true.
Not likely.
No. Let's face it. Your family, your significant others, they want you to have security.
Mm-hmm.
To go out on your own, to take mm-hmm. that risk.
Because then they have security from it.
They have security from
essentially,
that.
Yeah.
Whether they're whether that's a married couple or a family member,
right.
et cetera.
Right.
The idea of entrepreneurship, that 25-cent word again, the idea of starting something on your own,
mm-hmm.
that's damn scary. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's horror stories every day, as there should be, because mm-hmm. it's real. Whether it's a restaurant or whether it's any other kind of business. I mean, what is it like? 8 out of 10 businesses close after the first 18 months.
Sure.
Again, no matter if you're a software developer, if you're a restaurant, if you're a plumbing contractor, it's just not easy to do this,
mm-hmm.
but the reward at the other side of that,
right?
And I think that's what I mentioned, with some of these other resources that we can all tap into, whether that's business coaches, business consultants, people who have sounding board mentorship programs, some of the free and local stuff,
mm-hmm.
Some of the things that you've got through maybe a tribe of your own,
mm-hmm.
But even some of the content you can start reading, whether that's the physical book, whether that's the download online, whether
mm-hmm.
That's what I mentioned with one of my favorite pieces of content is that Think and Grow Rich.
Right.
And rich doesn't need to be money. Rich could be the idea that you're building something and you're getting a great feeling of wellness.
Oh, sure. Rich. There's tons of different ways to measure
that. Yeah. And you said you'd read that, right?
I have. Yeah.
The Think and Grow.
Yeah, maybe a couple of years ago. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago because that's an older book.
Well, again, if people can take, and again, if you don't know what I'm referencing is TAGR, Think and Grow Rich. It's a volume. It's fairly short read, 13 chapters.
It is, yeah.
But they consider 13 principles of success.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, get out of the idea that and get away from the fact that it's a 1936 copyright.
Right.
Basically, the world's first billionaire was Andrew Carnegie, the steel magnate. Mm-hmm. And after he was in a more reflective state of mind when he was in his 70s and wasn't a complete, you know what, running his business.
Right.
He'd sold his business. He'd done well. But what he was, he actually found a young guy, Napoleon Hill from Chicago. And Napoleon Hill is the author of Think and Grow Rich.
Yes.
Ultimately, it took Napoleon Hill about 18 years to write that book.
Did it
what
really?
What he was literally doing was going back to Andrew Carnegie's Rolodex.
Okay.
And Carnegie, again, being reflective and said, you know what? I've always wanted to know, why did I succeed when I got off a boat from Scotland as an immigrant with 2 cents in my pocket? Why did I succeed? But yet I can still go back 30, 35 years, 40 years later. I can see some people from that same boat.
Sure.
That have not had one iota of success.
Sure.
What did I do? Mm-hmm. Who did I surround myself with?
Right.
And I think it's the same principles today. Who did I surround myself with? And so why reinvent the wheel sometimes? Take a look, folks, at the Think and Grow Rich.
Because
if you
book.
Can open the thing to the table of contents, if you can look at that 13 principles of success today and you can tell me that those aren't apropos to 2019 and beyond, I'll tell you you're nuts. If you look at the table of contents, persistence. These are just chapters. Persistence, desire, faith, organized planning, specialized knowledge, chapter number 9, mastermind group. Mm-hmm. Get around a couple of people intentionally and say, hey, why don't we kick around an idea over a sandwich? You're running your business. I'm running my business.
Right.
It's kind of lonely out there. Why don't we share some practices?
Sure. Fair.
Literally, you can tell me that persistence is probably something that most every entrepreneur is going to need. Desire, faith, organized planning. Sure. Absolutely. Masterminding. Two heads are better than one. So the idea was that they finally... He went out and he interviewed all the luminaries of the time. Mm-hmm. He interviewed Carnegie's friends. They tended to be people like Henry Ford, the Wright brothers, all these great people.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately came around with, hey, there are those 13 principles of success.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest selling book in the history of books. It's Think and Grow Rich.
Okay.
But again, if you grab a copy, again, or download, it's the same today as it was then.
Persistence
is needed. Right. Desire is needed. Faith is needed. Every one of those principles of success is the same today. What does that tell me? It tells me that, you know what, we've had an iPhone since 2007. Human brain's been around for a million years.
Mm-hmm.
Those principles have been around since 1936. Eight years later, we still need the same principles.
Or longer, right?
Right.
There's probably books before then. That
sure. Absolutely.
Stone tablets that said the same thing, right?
If it works, don't fix. You know, if it's not broken, don't fix.
Right.
You can still garner something out of some of those principles of success.
Absolutely.
For running your business, being around a successful tribe.
Sure.
And I still think that's just, it's one of the greatest pieces of content I ever dig into.
Sure.
I take it off the shelf. I look at it, you know, probably every week. I'll just take it off the shelf. And you can see my copy.
I feel like I got to get you a copy of the Bold Business Book so that you can say stuff like this.
There you go. I know.
Let's talk about Bunker Labs.
Bunker Labs, near and dear to my heart.
Yeah,
veteran entrepreneurs.
Awesome. Okay, so just tell us the story about what it does, how you're involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real simple story. A friend of mine, Todd Connor, got out of the Navy a number of years ago. Todd's a young guy. And it was literally 5 years ago, next week, that there was, I don't know, 12, 13 of us that were on his email list. I didn't know Todd. I was in Chicago at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd's a Chicago guy, had gotten out of the Navy. And went back to business school. Sharp guy, was working on data analytics and all sorts of super cool stuff. And what he found was, what he lit on was the fact, he says, hey, you guys, I'll buy a Diet Coke if you want to come over. I'm going to show you what I'm working on.
Sure.
All right, so he ended up over there. He says, here's what I found. You know, and again, this is 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is 5 years ago. So we're already 13 years ago into the whole Middle East debacle and the military thing. So there's a lot of people coming out of the military in real time.
Okay.
What he found was that, like, my dad and his four brothers getting out of a Korean conflict.
Sure.
It was never declared a war. It was always a conflict.
Okay.
All five of them started a business. We're on the third generation of three of those businesses right now. Bottom line was that was about 50% of all veterans coming out of the military started a business.
Okay.
That's just the numbers.
Sure.
So... fast forward, Todd's working around some things in business school and sees, you know, what I'm looking at here is I'm seeing only a lot of people coming out of the military, super sharp men and women, leaders, et cetera. Only 3% of the people coming out start a business.
That's crazy.
But what I'm also looking over on the other side here is 25, 30%, from what I can tell, would consider starting a business. They just don't, I think, have a professional network. Hey, guys, here's what I'm going to do. He says, I'm not that smart a guy. I said, believe me, I'm in that category myself.
Sure.
Hands down. I'll show up. What do you need? He says, well, I'm just going to host the monthly meetup. And I can call it Bunker Brews. We can do Bunker Brews, meaning we can get people together for a morning coffee, or Bunker Brews, maybe we'll have a Diet Coke and a Miller Lite at night.
Sure.
So he started that 5 years ago. Fast forward. He hit on, again, just like any great entrepreneur, anybody that's successful with entrepreneurship and building a business, finds a problem, finds an issue,
right,
and comes up with a better mousetrap, comes up with a solution.
Fair.
What he found was that military veterans the sharpest leadership resource we have in this country 5 years ago, were coming out, would love to consider starting a business. Only 3% were. And he thought that was unacceptable on our watch. And he put together just a meetup group. And so fast forward now 5 years, there's 32 city chapters of Bunker Labs.
All right.
And Bunker Labs basically is still the same thing. It's just a meetup group for veterans, veteran entrepreneurs, military spouse, supporters, employers, anybody who gives a darn on understanding these great Americans who raised their right hand to serve our country.
Sure.
Because again, none of this business building is all for naught if we don't have a tremendous, successful military presence.
Right.
And again, I'm not talking about things that most people want to talk about, which is weapons and such. The idea that the United States Marines and everyone else of the United States and the emissaries that we have, they're the greatest friends to the world, but at some point we may need to shift that gear.
Sure.
And we have all the way back to 1775. But again, the idea of veteran entrepreneurs has now come, and we're just getting started. He's starting to get some funding now and probably be in all 50 states with the chapter. Again, national nonprofit, just people show up, volunteer. But mentorship, having people over there. Hey, like you mentioned, you're pretty good at looking at business plans. Hey, somebody shows up, young guys and gals coming out of the military said, hey, you know, I've got a plan. Could we, you know, meet and
get a couple?
And again, if somebody wants to take it to a completely another level, hey, we've always got business coaches, consultants. We've got resources we can push people to and introduce them to. But the idea now that you're starting to see these extremely sharp people coming out of the military, and always have been, but even more so today, only 3 out of 10 people actually qualify to go into the military today, given the academics and things that need to be, whether they're in the enlisted or the officer side. Absolutely.
I had no idea.
Yeah. No, 70% of people in America that are qualified age-wise to go to the military are unqualified because they knock out on some level.
Interesting.
So again, when we start talking about, you know, billion-dollar weapon systems, billion-dollar logistics systems, and things like that, sharpest leadership resource the world has, most people don't tap into because they don't know these people.
Sure.
And when you show up at one of these meetups, the Bunker Labs, like here in Madison, we've got a great city chapter founded a couple of years ago by an Army veteran, Mike Ertmer. Mm-hmm. And we just recently, and you and I were talking about that, probably the most significant building, I think, to open in Madison, Wisconsin, in this in the area, ever since 1850 in the state capitol, is Starting Block. Starting Block Madison down at 821 East Washington.
Yeah.
And that's where now there's a number of different entrepreneurial organizations, incubators, accelerators, all under one roof.
Right.
All having that terrific energy.
Yeah.
Okay. It's never going to be easy. But when you start putting Doyen, the female entrepreneur group, Bunker Labs, the veteran entrepreneur group, Capital Entrepreneurs, another entrepreneur, Generator, which is out of Milwaukee and Madison, a accelerator for business groups, and Starting Block in and of itself, you start putting those groups all in one place and all be able to thrive off of each other's energy.
Sure.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
It's a game changer that Madison never had. Again, don't sleep on Madison. So, I mean, I always thought 30 years ago Madison should be Palo Alto. We just didn't have the weather. Again, the boomerang effect. People are staying here now when they graduate, staying here now with their skills, as opposed to maybe going to a warm weather place. And all that talent is now here and all down the East Wash Corridor, just all that development. People many times might just go by and say, huh, isn't that interesting? Madison's kind of growing up. Well, the idea is a lot of companies want to base here. Cost of living, talent. You got the state capital, you got the government, you got the university.
We have water.
We have everything. We have 5 beautiful lakes built on the isthmus.
Right.
It's just, you know, a terrific spot. And, you know, I'm having time of my life being here.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's a good place. We interviewed, or I should say I interviewed Chandra from Starting Block.
Oh, Chandra's, Chandra's the best.
Almost a year ago, I bet, by now. Anyway, she
It literally opened, quote unquote, in end of August. But again, that's when the rains came.
Yeah.
And American Family is the built the building. You know, they're in the building. They got some of their
seats. A rough week or two there.
Rough couple of months.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a quarter inch of rain. I mean, that was the kind of the epicenter for the whole flooding. Was Livingston wasn't even paid. But again, all that's behind. So, but again, you know, what I always offer up to anybody, whether they're listening or whether we know them in our tribes, is most people have never been in that building. And people say, it's an office building that opens. No. It's much more than an office building.
Right.
Most people don't understand. Office, I go in, close my door. No. This is, you know, collaborative space.
Right.
This is, hey, I don't really want to work out of a third bedroom at my house. Yeah. I'm an entrepreneur, or I've got a small law practice. I've got two partners. We just want to be in that space, and we want to rent some space on a month-to-month basis. So, yeah, Chandra Miller and Scott Resnick are the founders of Starting Block.
Yep.
Terrific folks. And, again, anybody wants to tour that building, I'm always available. I give 5-6 tours of the building. Everything from the Madison West DECA Club kids at high school to the MG&E executives to anybody else.
Sure.
But once you're in there and you see what's going on, you literally say, where'd this come from? I mean, you've, I've seen you over there at the Dream Bank. I mean, that's a community resource at the Dream Bank.
Again, another tremendous resource
most people in Madison don't know about because they haven't seen it.
Right.
Hey, didn't that move off the square? Yeah, it did, to a much bigger size. I mean, five times the size of the
space. It's a different level now.
It's on the first floor, but a lot of community events. It's I don't mean
physical level. I just mean from a space.
Yeah.
It's night and day from what it was before.
Sure, which is terrifically needed. Yeah. Everything mm-hmm. from Saturday afternoon programs to, you know, kids programs mm-hmm. to yoga at mm-hmm. lunch to, hey, somebody coming down and talking about how you know, do your business plan and I'll help you out with that.
Sure.
So, yeah, terrific resource. And again, that's also where I've toured these three in the last 4 weeks, the Chinese delegations that have come to Madison. They consider that. Most international folks consider that building an innovation center.
Sure.
And so if there's an innovation center within 500 miles of a Chinese delegation, they will want to see that. And so that is something that's really anchoring our city to the bigger picture of the world.
Nice.
We have an innovation center.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So before we take off here, I want you to tell us, if you can, because you're a business coach, you've seen a lot of stuff, you've talked with a lot of people. What is the biggest challenge that you've had in any one of your businesses? It's the first one somebody says, what's the biggest challenge you've ever had?
Get started, stay started.
Get started. Okay, getting started. Was it a mindset issue or a financial issue?
Well, it's all
issue?
Mindset.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I still have mindset issues every day.
Sure.
I mean, if you're in the game, if you're a business person, mm-hmm. again, doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your persuasion, doesn't matter your color, your skin, it really doesn't. This is not about identity politics. Mm-hmm. If you've got something that is going to be a change to mm-hmm. a specific space,
sure.
You've built a better mousetrap.
Yeah.
Again, no matter if that's a particular piece that, hey, we can pour water faster.
Right.
Or you've got some app that'll change the world or solve world peace.
Right.
If you've got something, it'll get funded.
Sure.
And you'll work on it. Mm-hmm. But again, to start. Because I suggest, and this is actually what I, you know, again, I'm just a guy who keeps failing forward, and God knows, it's been a lot of failure.
Sure.
But again, when you're that close, it's all about, when you have the idea, pop mm-hmm. a champagne cork. Mm-hmm. When you have an idea of something, pop the champagne cork. People say, well, why the heck would you do that? Because guess what? You're going to take that the next hour, the next day, the next week. Take that out into the public domain, whether mm-hmm. that's family, significant other, anybody around you. And they're going to say, gee, you know, James, I don't see you doing that. And then you will suffer exactly from right there from the fear of criticism.
Sure.
And it'll just blow everything up. And so it does bring down to the mindset. So again, it is getting started and it is staying started.
Okay.
Like people get stuck and stuck stinks.
Sure.
And that's why I suggest, you know, you just got to grind through it.
Mm-hmm.
But know for a fact that we got 168 hours this week and it's up to us what we do.
Start the hustle, get going.
It's up to us what we do with it. But again, I always suggest having people that you can bounce things off with, start mm-hmm. mastermind groups. We do a lot with mastermind. If people want information on that, they can certainly figure out where I am. But the mastermind groups, like-minded people, a tribe, somebody that you can say, you know what do you think? Because again, I'll kind of leave us on that. This point, I got a coach that's, he's my critical thinking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He says, before you ask someone what they think,
mm-hmm.
make sure they do. Before you ask somebody what they think,
there's an assumption.
Make
there.
Sure they do.
Sure.
Because most people don't.
Fair.
Why are they any smarter than you are in your idea?
I believe that I can learn something from everybody.
I agree.
Yeah, even regardless of who.
And maybe fill their bucket up.
Maybe it's not necessarily something that I want or need to learn, but I'm fairly of the belief that everybody has something that they can teach everybody else. So
absolutely. And if you're not a lifelong learner, this ain't going to work.
Oh, right.
No,
absolutely. Game over then.
No, my parents are almost 90. And
never
again,
stop
you
learning.
Learn anything from something.
Sure. So if somebody wanted to reach you, get a hold of you, do you have a website or email? How do people find you?
No, don't do the websites. Again, you can't email Handshakes, but if somebody wanted to email me, is it what you're looking at?
Sure.
I just use my personal email.
Okay.
My name's Kyle Arneson. My mm-hmm. personal email is karneson2@gmail.com. karneson2@gmail.com.
karneson2@gmail.com. Awesome.
Yeah, be happy to answer any questions or always giving tours of the space and everything else.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by.
No, really appreciate it. Thanks for thinking of us.
We could probably talk for another 3 hours, but they kick us off.
More than likely, I'm Irish.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call. offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And, of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Kyle Arneson from World Leadership Partners and Bunker Labs. Kyle, thanks for being here.
Thank you, James.
This is a blast. Handshakes are real. I love it. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays and at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunpraymediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, as mentioned before, enjoy your business.